Hello, everybody. I'm Chris.
I'm Craig.
And I'm known as Jack.
Jack and Apes.
Green Father.
That's my sixth Doctor tribute.
Well, anyway.
Good.
Cheers.
Cheers.
We're on the Universal logo, just about to start with...
With what, though? With what?
The
what
epic. The epic Flash Gordon.
Yes.
Flash Gordon.
Oh, yes.
Clytus.
What plaything can you offer me today?
That's totally the wrong voice.
That's not.
No, it is. So, it starts off, I think, as it means to go on, you already know that you are having this superb stylization of comic book marvellousness.
Yeah.
Straight into the story, no fucking about.
No, that's true, no, yeah, exactly. I was just thinking that.
Absolutely no messing around. Yeah. There's a little bit of exposition later on as to why he's doing this, but actually you never really believe it, because you just think he's at it.
I just like to play things with the world before Annihilation.
Before Annihilation, yeah, because he's just a dick. So, what do we think of Flash Gordon?
Great,
I would go as far as to say, of all the films that we have done... the music's begun. Of all the films that we have done as a podcast, this is perhaps my favourite. I love Flash Gordon. Saw it in cinema. Love it.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's one of the... it's one of my favourite films. I think it's a definitive film.
And can
I think it set the tone for the way comic book adaptations were done for probably right up until the... Probably until Blade.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
When they went all, you know, a bit grittier and all that sort of thing.
And that's Alex Raymond artwork there from the original comic strips.
Lovely. They are beautiful, aren't they? Yeah. It's an interesting thing that in 1980...
Yes.
That, because this is obviously, you know, it's a film for kids.
Mm.
But that in 1980, there would still be a recognition on the part of kids that, you know, these are the comic books and these are the guys. Because, of course...
Buster Crabbe in the school.
Well,
I was going to say, because, you know, that was when we were solidly still in a proper country territory.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you would have seen Republic and Flash Gordon series, in fact.
Because I knew Flash
Gordon. All the time.
Universal I knew it as a Republic series, that comic book.
What Absolutely else superb. Is going on as we speak? And if we had the copyright and the money...
Queen music?
Yeah.
Tell us about that, Jack.
Well, I think this is arguably the best music soundtrack of the time.
I think you're well better.
As a coherent whole, it works fantastically. The songs are amazing. How that interacts with the classical score is absolutely brilliant as well.
Yeah.
It's a great piece of work.
We were saying just before we started recording how... interesting it is, certainly at the time, to have a big popular pop band do a score and not just say we want you to write a few songs for this, because usually it would just be wank like Pink Floyd or something that would be asked to do something like that.
That's true.
One of the great things about it is the video for it, with it playing on the screen behind them, and Deacon give it dun, 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 dun,
and the little dun, clips dun, of the film in it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
That was the early days of Freddie Mercury's moustache, wasn't it?
Which is perhaps actually the reason why the film quotes are so well known.
Yes, exactly.
Dispatch what? Rocket Ajax.
To bring back his body.
His body.
Is what they call tears. It's a sign of their weakness.
This bit here, set in America.
Uh-huh. Is
shot in Sky.
In Sky, and you're just about to see Robbie Coltrane.
Robbie Coltrane's about to...
Wow.
This is meant to be Dark Harbour.
Yeah.
Dark Harbour, okay.
Well, presumably it's meant to be some sort of New England, Connecticut or something. There he is.
There he is, Robbie.
Big Robbo.
Not quite so big then.
Yeah.
This, of course, was when... Sky continues to be in films all the time. It's in Prometheus.
So why is it? Why did they use it?
Yes, it suffered through that.
Tax breaks.
They just had to go and film it somewhere. Uh-huh. None of it was filmed in America. I mean, it was mostly filmed at Cinecittà, wasn't it?
Really?
Yeah.
Or Cinecittà or
Cinecittà.
Because who's the producer on it, Chris?
Hey, the producer is the epic Dino De Laurentiis.
One of the great men.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Genuinely one of the great men.
I think I mentioned to you recently, Craig, that I found on YouTube, and it's worth going and looking this up. It must have been a DVD extra or something, and it's with Raffaella De Laurentiis, because she was a producer on Dune, and there's still stories about production and all that for Dune, which there is again, Robbie.
Mm-hmm.
Which I once said to him he was in and he'd forgotten, but he was pissed.
Yeah. He was pissed when he was in it, he was pissed in it when you saw him.
Well, he's probably still pissed from when he was in this. But the point I make the De Laurentiises are truly the great cinema family.
Yeah.
Just constantly hustling, coming up with all sorts of schemes and all that, but just to get films on the screen.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
I think we've said before, it's easy to disparage filmmakers, but it's so monumentally difficult to get a film made that to keep cranking them out after all these years. And all of the crew in that Dune little film, you know, were saying that Rafael De Laurentiis, at the time, was the first time a woman had produced a major big blockbuster film, basically on her own.
Yeah.
And she just worked flat out and was just epically good at it.
Great stuff.
Now, not that broke any glass ceiling, because, of course, it made no fucking difference whatsoever.
Now, do you know who was originally down to direct this?
Yeah, it was Federico Fellini, wasn't it?
And then after him, do you know who it was?
No.
Sergio Leone.
Wow.
Was it just Fellini? It would just have been like Sam J. Jones and Melody Anderson dancing on the edge of a fucking fountain
and big arse.
And
a woman with an enormous arse.
Fucking Ming turning up on a Lambretta.
Now, gentlemen, another reason why we're doing this, apart from the fact it's a great film, is that it was requested by one of our massive
Yeah, because this is what we're doing for a lot of season three of the Cream Guide Film Commentaries.
Yeah. We're taking requests. And then basically, if they happen to coincide with films that we want to do, then we're going to do them. So
absolutely.
So Jonathan Wilkins requested this.
Hiya.
Hello, Jonathan Wilkins.
And I sent him a little message to ask him if he could send us some thoughts on Flash. And by gum, he's done that.
Yeah. Well, we'll come to those as we go.
Shall I read a little bit just now?
Yeah.
And then we can pick up some more.
Who is this Wilkins fellow?
Jonathan Wilkins.
Well, I just want to make sure, because this is the thing I want to point out here is, as we said, it's rattling straight into it.
Uh-huh.
In the course of the last 2 minutes, we've found out who they all are and that there's something up. Yeah. That she's a bit lonely and he's, you know, he's a football star and all this sort of thing. There's Danilo Donati's handiwork cracking on. But there's a thing that comes up in a moment that I only noticed very latterly, but we'll get back to it. So before we get to Topol and I think possibly the first use in popular culture of the word cowabunga.
Wow, okay. So Jonathan starts...
Wilkins.
Yeah, it's Borkins.
Jonathan starts his notes by saying Flash is unlike any other movie. It's weird, that horrid swamp monster.
He looks at his front, he looks at the clock and goes, cowabunga.
It's weird, that horrid swamp monster that Flash crawls onto during his escape on Arborea.
Mm.
Zarkov's really odd memories, what's happened at that swimming pool. He says there's also the line about the ballworms that shot me through puberty at the age of five and kind of still is. I'm going to kind of read this because it's good stuff. I have no idea why.
Yeah, there's
Dalton's amazing accent. Freeze, you bloody bastards.
No, he says it in Welsh. He goes, right, you bloody bastards.
There's Pervy Peter's clitus. There's the unkept promise of a sequel.
Yep.
The Wizard of Oz style drab earth contrasted with the bright and glitzy world of Mongo. I think that's a nice observation.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I think we're on board with all this so far.
Mm-hmm.
There's the lizard man with eyes in his mouth. There's Peter Duncan, John Osborne and Richard O'Brien in the same scene.
We've got to leave out something to say later on, you know.
And what a scene. William Hootkins flattened by a plane. Nobody being remotely bothered.
Don't do it all
you're actually kind of being quite annoying now,
just,
Jack.
You're just actually reading out the whole film now.
We've run out of shit to talk about now.
Right, stop.
This is just so you can talk about fucking Queen's running track listings, isn't it?
I could do that. Do you know what? If we run out of time,
let's come back to all that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jonathan. We'll come back to that.
Yeah. I think the one to pick up from that, though, is it's very kinky. It is a very kinky film. Wasn't Topol quite a good-looking man?
He was, yeah.
Yeah, look at him there.
How long before this was... Fiddler on the Roof. The
film was about 72, I think. 71, 72.
So it's a fair distance between them. Because he was probably just constantly touring before he did
this. Absolutely, and after. But and living, after this, he was in For Your Eyes Only.
And living in Maydeville.
Ah.
Now,
Porkins, of course, was about only a couple of years in Star Wars.
Where was Topol born?
Where was he born? Yeah. I have no idea.
Russia. What do you think?
Russia, something like that.
I'm going to say Bristol.
I was hoping you'd be stupid enough to see Israel.
Well, no, because he was in Israel when he was born.
British Mandate of Palestine.
All right, okay. So this is all this great stuff for the sort of crazy scientists.
Munson
is a great name. Why are you running away?
What do we think of the casting in this film?
Casting's great. There's some really epic people who turn up for very small scenes.
Yeah.
Now this is the thing I'm pointing out that I only noticed recently. Watch what comes when they disappear. And it looks like it's... for years I didn't notice this.
Mm.
Wow! Oh, I never noticed that it's actually Ming comes out of them.
I didn't know that.
And the sort of energy thing.
I think Ming is the best cast role in the history of cinema.
Yeah,
because he looks exactly like the comic strip.
It's amazing though, isn't it? Because Max von Sydow's not, not exactly Mr. Comic Book actor.
No, not at all.
You know, he was always in miserable films.
Yeah, he was fucking playing chess on the beach and all that sort of thing.
I suppose he's in The Exorcist, which is shite, as we decided.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, here's the thing. The trope of trying to land a plane is a thing that used to happen all the time in films. And doesn't really happen anymore.
Yeah.
Come on, Flash, you can do it.
It's got magnificent hair, Sam Jones, isn't it?
But I love the fact that all of the sets are just meant to be sets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the miniature work and everything. There's no pretense that it's reality, because a fantasy book. The rockets doesn't look like a rocket.
No. And they get there in about 5 minutes.
And everybody knows in 1980 what a rocket looks like. We know it doesn't look like that. Rockets don't have wee windows.
Mm. It just takes the stuff from there. Yeah. It also, it kind of plays off sort of what at the time wouldn't have been called steampunk, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
They get the level of faithfulness to the comic book exactly right.
This is a love. You're back.
How much of that is inspired by Star Wars though? Because Star Wars start life as a George Lucas had aspirations to Flash Gordon.
You've been at the Wikipedia, he did. That was one of the things all night, JF Sebastian.
And then it sort of morphed eventually into his aspirations to do a serial turned into Raiders of the Lost Ark.
But I wonder if they would have got away with pitching it at this sort of tone if it hadn't been for things like Star Wars.
How do you mean?
Well, because it is quite... It's not a stupid film, but it's also not a very serious film.
No, it's silly. It's not stupid, but it's silly. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take itself madly seriously. Right. But it gets the tone just right so that there is proper jeopardy.
We like jeopardy.
You do.
It's one of my favourite elements in the film.
Melody Anderson I can only think of as being in two films. This one... And Dead and Buried.
Wow.
She's apparently a social worker now.
Oh, good.
She's a social worker in New York.
Now, that's something that I think we have to address, which is, sexism aside, what is the weak link in the lead characters? And it's Melody Anderson.
Do you think?
She's not.
She's serviceable. She's all right.
She's not as good as Ornelia Muti.
Oh, no, Ornelia Muti's amazing.
Yeah, she's incredible.
What about Big Sam? What's your views on him?
Seems a good guy, Big Sam.
Let me tell you, the execution scene got me through very many years. But of course, notoriously, they dubbed his voice.
Yeah, right, you fell out with Dino, didn't you? So who did you fall out with?
Dino De Laurentiis! But he wouldn't do any promo for it.
Mm.
Right.
So there was no big promotional tour or anything, which is part of the reason, apparently, that it just didn't do very well.
Mm. I remember the sort of TV promotion. It seemed
it very well in
like
Britain.
Swap
oh, yeah, no, it did well here, but of course, if it doesn't do well in America, they don't give a fuck.
No, that's true.
But there's some great business here, this whole thing here. He's setting the coordinates as if it's like, oh, it's just come off the computer. That's where it's coming from.
And also, their head moves the wrong way.
Absolutely. Yeah.
When the rocket tips, his head goes the wrong way.
Okay. You'll see. This sequence has beautiful music.
Yes, the music here is phenomenal.
And it builds wonderfully to the, the door closing and the little beeping sound.
Yeah.
This would be a problem, this rocket, if one of you needed a shite.
What?
And frankly, if I took off...
But fine, if two of you needed a shite.
A scary Israeli man's rocket, I'd probably need a shite.
There's a great...
I'd probably no longer need a shite.
But there's this great the way that this genius
I'd sound
is
like Brian Blessed.
Where they've set this great thing up where he's got the rocket and he's designed it all and he's a genius and all that, except that you can't fly it on your own. The button's on the wall and somebody has to keep their foot on a red pedal. So that in case the G forces kill them, as if the rocket at any point would be used and no G forces would be involved.
Yeah, I've got the G force dampener on.
Just set a brick on it.
Yeah, and as you said, the music here.
That's true.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Particularly when they're floating through space.
Yeah, that's
right. It's very expansive. It really helps, doesn't it? The Brian May guitar chord there.
But then when it starts to move into the Imperial Vortex and you get the drums start beating up.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Have you listened to the soundtrack album? Because it's all in it.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. I had the soundtrack
album. What was the soundtrack album called, Jack?
something Gordon, I think.
Was it just called Flash Gordon? Yeah. That's good. It makes it easier to find in a shop.
Yeah. And the cover is just the Flash Gordon logo.
Oh, brilliant. Even easier. Yeah. You probably wouldn't have to read.
Yeah.
As long as you could. I mean, we're getting into Umberto Eco semantics.
It's the second when the separation happens in the rocket.
Watch.
With the head.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right, yeah.
Although they should be weightless.
I just ruined it off me now.
But this is all the sort of... It's a...
Yes.
Boom, 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 boom. But, oh, yeah, it's just
absolutely
immense.
Beautiful.
Oh, look, they're cracking on.
Yeah.
Just know what I'd be grabbing.
A little bit of hand-holding there.
Thanks, Jack.
She's strapped on there.
Everybody's happy.
Sam's happy.
Yeah.
Covering all the bases.
Yeah, absolutely. Ooh.
Oh, it's just lovely.
Yeah, it's not a great model, that, isn't it?
It looks a bit like a shuttlecock.
All those moons and things. Here we go, look.
But, you know, it's meant
to
look like...
You can actually
see the cell. I think that's more to do with the copy I've got. It was a sort of digitally remastered anniversary edition, so you can see the blocking. Which you wouldn't have seen the original print. Oh, it's just...
Jack, you tell.
The design on these are just beautiful.
Yeah.
Looking good, Jack.
Okay.
What distance?
And the way they withhold Ming.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, well, proper, although you have proper, you have seen him a wee second, but you don't know it's him. Yeah. But actually, the person that they use brilliantly in this is Clytus.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, because Peter Wingard is covered all the way through it did him absolutely no good whatsoever.
Yeah.
The other thing that's beautiful,
and he is amazing in this.
Yeah. The other thing that's beautiful is the all of those effects. What's the artist called? Is it Boris Vallejo? You know, the sort of 70s fantasy art type stuff. Don't you think that's where that's coming from?
Yeah.
Well, look at that.
And there's landscape.
And then you have Wingard is in the film Night of the Witch. What's it called? Burnwich, Night of the Eagle.
Look at that.
God, he looks magnificent in it.
And then when the
I'm getting quite gay about Peter Wingard here. He was a magnificent looking creature.
He was, and the partner of, for many years, of Alan Bates.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the amazing thing about him? He was in the same prison of war camp as J.G. Ballard.
Oh, really?
They were friends as children.
Wow. Oh, cool. Well, I mean, you know.
Good guy.
If there's anything cool about that, it's going to be there.
Yeah.
I love the little scenes like this, one of them looking in.
Aye, absolutely.
It's just great. And the design of these outfits is just immense.
They're like samurai, aren't they?
But then you have those fucking mental ones that come up with the snorkels.
Mm.
Craig
and these fantastic gun things with they've got just gold gauntlets that chuck you about.
Craig, I like the cinematography of this one.
Well,
the cinematography was by the great Gil Taylor.
The director of Nutty
Hijack. Yeah.
And cinematographer of Star Wars, Night School, Malice and such.
So he must have knocked off Nutty Hijack just before he was DOP on this. Mm. Same sort of year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I suspect... I wonder if it was like part of some sort of finance deal.
Mm.
You know, like, I'll do so many films for you, but I want a chance to direct. You don't have to produce it, but just give us the money and all that sort of thing.
Can't ask him now because he's dead.
See the big giant stat, the head of Ming on the right hand side. And like I say, it was like years later you started pick up on all these things.
Yeah.
Well, I did.
Yeah.
There's always quite a lot to the design of the Republic serial as well, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, it manages to sort of look like it but be its own. Which
was it a Republic serial, Flash Gordon?
Yeah.
Was it not a Universal serial?
I always remember it as Republic serial because there was Flash Gordon and Buck Rogers, wasn't there? With Buster Crab. But then Republic serial kind of came to. It's almost a generic term for those things, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I think they are the sort of generic term, but they weren't all... Like, things like King of the Rocket Men and...
It was Undersea Kingdom, wasn't it?
Undersea Kingdom, I love.
Yeah.
This pays off beautifully.
Yeah, no, absolutely, at the very end.
We're just about the last... About the greatest ending of a film ever.
And, of course, it's Max von Sydow's voice as the robot, as the drone. And this is another lovely moment as well, where he does the... If it fails, I've got the gun in my pocket. Ah, do you now? Do you?
It's a nice multi-pocketed jacket he's wearing. As you know, I like a multi-pocketed jacket. I'm a wee bastard for a multi-pocketed jacket.
It's a lovely shot as well, isn't it?
It's a rational transit. One life of
those. Just POV shot. There we go. Look at that. That's that dealt with. Boy.
And that's the end of that. Yeah. That's the end of that plan.
Did you see a string there?
Oh, I don't know.
You can, every now and again, you can see the strings that are holding it up. But that's the danger with clearing up these sorts of prints. So but I don't mind that. It's a fucking film. I don't think anybody's pretending it's a documentary.
Check these boys out.
There's Roger Hallam on the front.
Yeah, isn't it? No, it's not Roger. Isn't it John Hallam?
John Hallam, a bigger
part. That one on the left?
Yep. On the left,
he was in Doctor
Who. And who was he again? Gaslight.
Oh, he was in loads of stuff. He's in Dragon Slayer.
Yeah.
He's in...
Great Looking Badger.
Oh, yeah,
that's right,
He's been in other films we've done. Yeah. I can't remember.
Of course, we just saw Brian Blessed there.
Yes.
Who Jonathan Wilkins described...
Look at that. Wait a minute. It's
always with the Wilkins, eh?
Look at this entrance, though. Oh.
Your problem, Chris, you've got too much to say about it.
It's just gorgeous. Yeah.
Oh no! Well, where's Jonathan? Get Jonathan in here then.
You know, it's amazing as well if you pay, because I've sort of dissected this over the years, is that it's actually from his appearance, it's quite a long time until he speaks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because Clytus does all the talking.
Yes, he is.
And it's only much later on where he says, before he stabs the guy, we're delighted to hear it. Mm-hmm. I think the point being that he just stands there, he's the presence, Clytus does all the nasty business.
There he is, says Blessed.
The fabled ice jewel of...
Brian Blessed defining his act for years to come. I think that's probably true. I think when people think about Brian Blessed, it is predominantly from this film.
Well, yeah, he's managed to make a feature of it.
Mm-hmm. As if you don't have enough Totty in this film already, Mr. Diamond.
Mm.
Mr. Dalton has now walked in.
Peak Timothy. Dalton.
You're a fan of Timmy Dalton, aren't you?
Why? Yeah. Now, there's a couple of interesting things.
Sort of a man's man, Dalton, isn't he? You know what I mean? He looks like a man's man.
And he gets better looking as he gets on, because he looks his peak, in my opinion, in Hot Fuzz.
Mm.
However, I love it. See if you... Because the action is so good, I think, and the exposition, the story and the plot, it takes a few viewings before you start to look at all the people in the background.
Yeah.
And some of the outfits are incredible. There's a whole section of people that it took me years to notice who have got sort of glass bell jars over their heads.
Aye. I like the way he says, Hail Ming.
Hail Ming. Hmm.
Yeah.
And then there's these guys, and they're just incredible.
From Adentia.
So this is, we're coming up to the first time. Yeah.
And this is featured in the soundtrack as well.
Yeah. This is the first time when he speaks.
Yeah. We have some person to blast with our kingdom.
Easy with the voice.
Except my lord. And then he's...
That's not the answer that plays the ship captain in Raiders of the Lost Ark, is it?
Oh, that's worth checking out. We are delighted to hear it. And that's the first time he speaks.
Yeah,
and the first time he speaks is to tell somebody to kill themselves.
Death.
Now, I was going to say about Brian Blessed. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll come to it later on, but I want you to flag it up here just now, which is that the delivery of the line that Brian Blessed has made his career out of is wrong. Everybody thinks he shouts, Gordon's alive! Mm. He doesn't.
Yeah.
He just says, Gordon's alive.
Yeah, he questions it.
He also has a little... One of his sidekicks, when he walked in there, you're John Hallam on our left. Mm-hmm. And there's the older guy on the right.
Yeah.
Now, there's a bit of inconsistency in his name, which changes over the course of the film from Nero to Biro and back to Nero again.
Wow.
Yeah.
As in the pastry?
Yeah. Oh, with the flower. Nero, Biro, Nero. I don't know whether they... It's just something that came out in the action scenes.
Some of it was shot in Nero and some of it was shot in Biro.
Hey! Boom!
Hey, that was good.
But I wonder if much later on, when somebody calls him Biro, he says, Biro, keep your head down. It's just because there was such a massive action scene going on, it's like, no, it's fine, just keep going.
So where was Peter Wingard in his career then? It just seemed a funny role for him to take.
I think it was post-disgrace, wasn't
it? Yes, it was, yeah. He had an unfortunate episode.
In a toilet.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
Nowadays, nobody would give a fuck.
But then it's the sort of thing that...
It's the thing that's back. Massive fucking hypocrisy.
So I understand that Howard from Ever Decreasing Circles is in this.
He does. He crops up. He's the Doctor. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that.
Uh-huh.
Jonathan Wilkins.
Yeah, but we actually have to... Can we follow the chronology?
Jonathan's a good guy. It was a good call.
It was all great stuff, Jonathan. Yeah. It's this dick reading it all out at the start is the problem.
Just so we can talk about fucking Queen.
Oh, Queen. Can I just say that Queen are the archetypal musics, not just for you cunts.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Can I have another chocolate bar?
Yeah, but
to it.
Thanks. Yes, they are. They're a proper band for proper people.
Living like that? That's my motto.
Got a lot of the music.
But no,
a lot of the music intelligentsia lessons. Would turn their nose up.
Absolutely, which means which results in music is not just for you cunts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's an LMT.
They're certainly one of the great bands.
Bong!
We had a good chat about Deco.
Oh, see this speech. This is one of my favourite speeches.
I just say it was put rather well by Barf, actually, at the death of George
Hurling
Michael.
Their bodies into the void.
Uh-huh. What did
when
he say?
When he said,
without the slightest
just because his music was really sort of, you know, slick, doesn't mean it was meant any less.
Yeah.
It's very true.
That's a nice comment.
You would have hidden from it in terror. No, not true. Get Pervin.
Man.
So, Chris, I'm going to ask you this question. Is there anything you don't like about this film?
No. I mean, there's things. There's a couple of bits in it that, you know, it slows down a wee bit, and there's a bit of thing.
Not very much, though, does it?
Just no, there's a couple of bits. There's a couple of bits they could have done without and things like that. But I mean, it's not a kick in the arse off a perfect film.
That's true. And I think part of that is because the exposition is handled so
absolutely. Isn't
it? It's not very long. It's about 100 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah. But you understand at this point, as you say, I think you understand who everybody is.
Yeah.
Kind of, you get what their stake is.
You know where they are. You know what's going on.
This was a big film for me when I was a youngster.
Mm. Where did you see it?
I saw it at the Dominion in Edinburgh.
All right. Did you go to the Wimpy?
No, none of that. I was only nine, mate. 8 or 9. We didn't go to places like that then. You just went to the pictures and you came home afterwards.
Yep.
On a bus.
Yeah. And often there's not... Didn't get anything.
You don't
want to
push yourself absolutely. On the fast food.
Lucky if you got a Kia Ora.
Yeah.
Wasn't a fucking visit to a trough.
Did you have a chalk house?
Might have. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't.
Is Richard O'Brien mincing about in the back now?
Richard O'Brien was something like 75 the other day.
Really?
Was
wow.
It right old age, old Richard? But that was one
prepare
of the things
him
about
this for
film,
a pleasure!
As you got older... Check these boys out.
These fucking badgers.
As you got older, you started recognising more and more people in it. Which is a nice pleasure.
Yes.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think it's also one of those things that when you're... It's a great film education for a kid.
Because mm-hmm.
you start to recognise all these mm-hmm. people.
Where's it filmed?
I think it was...
I think it was Trinitita.
In
Rome.
Roma. Wow, because that's a big old studio, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it was the biggest
It was the biggest in the world at the time.
Wow.
It's probably comparatively, you know, to that fucking giant one in Australia or something. It's probably nothing now, but...
No, this football fight. Yeah,
I think it's closed now.
It's a good sequence.
Oh yeah, it
went, not
it went
after,
worse than, well, after
Gangs
Dino
of
bought
New York and all that stuff. Like, yeah.
It got repossessed to pay for its car payments.
Right.
Look at those little men.
This is the sequence that was always used on the telly to sell it.
I always think these guys that they're fighting with, I think it now anyway, in recent years, they look a bit like Mickey from The League of Gentlemen. I like Lucky Love.
But yeah, they would always use this, but I think that was probably a misunderstanding. Because okay, Americans would probably love all this, but in I think if you wanted to sell it in Britain,
that's true. Yeah,
you would use the fucking fights at the end,
yeah,
and or the rockets and things.
Yeah.
Now match him like this. You're like what? Just like this.
Go flash.
There's another thing that I only noticed years after seeing it for the first time, which is that Clytus's right arm never moves.
Hmm. Why is that then?
It's just a solid gold arm.
He's fiddling somebody else.
Well, I don't know why they chose to put a design on him that made one of his arms immobile, but his right arm is just static all the time.
Come on, Flash. Take him out. So, Chris, where did you first see this?
I saw this in the pictures at the Odeon in Redfield Street in Glasgow.
Wow.
In the big hall, Odeon 2, I think.
It's a good ending, that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Like, and the music just
went away. Yes.
And they just immediately sentenced him to death. Apart from Manelli, it was like that. Why they finger him? And there's also, it suggests that slightly icky relationship with him, which also... It crops up a wee bit later on as well, which is a bit ooh. But for an actor like Max von Sydow, I mean, it's quite something to have your old fucking head shaved and do all this shit.
Yeah,
I mean,
he looks so like Ming, doesn't he? It's unbelievable.
For somebody
who was the actor that played Ming on the telly in the old serials.
I don't know.
No, me neither. No,
I think he was pretty good as well. Though
it's right? Actually it's actually detailed because there's an entire chapter on this. And he becomes anatomy of cinema.
Is there? So I was a big fan of
Buster. Is that big pile of books over there in the corner?
It's here somewhere. Anyway, big, it says
big fan of Buster Crabbe
because it's clearly the design of, is not just modelled, I think, on the comics. It's also modelled on the serial.
Yeah,
because the design is slightly different from between the comics and the serial. So okay. You know, there's, I think it's more serial than comics.
It's a great amalgam, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful design. And Ming is a great character.
So is this down to, so all of this stuff, and actually the tone that this film strikes, then, is that down to Mike Hodges or who? What do we think?
Well, I mean, Hodges is a really interesting director and a great guy.
I think also... I think also the script, the Lorenzo Senpo Jr. script, mm-hmm. Like, with all this stuff just now, they've been very much, you know, all this. I'm told if you were around me, the chef will be upset. You know, that sort of slightly arch. I mean, I really don't like, because there's a terrible, lazy cliche when people say, oh, the Flash Gordon film is so camp. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
What it is actually, it's quite arch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And quite knowing, but not ironic. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of
that... It doesn't
that,
undermine the adventure, does it?
No, not at all. It heightens the characters. Yeah. But what it does is, I think, therefore, the tone, a lot of the tone comes from the script.
Mm-hmm.
Not you have until the sand... See, that's the subtitle wrong. Run up.
But it has amazing... it's amazingly consistent, though, isn't it? From the visual design to the music...
Pathetic.
...to the script.
Mm.
So it feels like someone in that production team... in a senior position, had a really good sense in the head as to how they wanted this to be.
But I also, you know, absolutely, and what's really nice is that they'll do things like, it's that, you mentioned the sort of steampunk thing, which is a wee bit still to come, but mm-hmm. When you have this, you know, the so it's sci-fi, well, not sci-fi, but science fantasy, because there's rockets mm-hmm. and there's lasers mm-hmm. and things, mm-hmm. but then there's a medieval dungeon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hmm.
And people still have swords, you know.
Yeah, yeah, it's proper fantasy, isn't it? It's great.
Fan of the original comic strip?
Well, I'm not really a comic person, so...
I can't help but notice that the folk in the background just seem to be wearing short-sleeved shirts.
Mm.
Well, in the back, they've got all, like, lizard people and slaves and things.
There's some lovely circling work being done by Mr. Gilbert Taylor here.
Mm-hmm. And then this immense sequence coming up with the sort of the execution scene. Which again, you know, it's like...
It's only about 20 minutes
in the film. 20 minutes in the film and they're murdering the lead character.
Yeah, it's okay.
The big wide screen lens.
Look at that, that's a great shot.
Look how wide that lens is. Everything's actually distorting around the sides.
It's all, I was going to say, it's almost like a fisheye.
Yeah, it's how wide it is,
But the...
It's clouds.
Oh, I love the violence of the skies.
So yep.
It's like they're alive, isn't it?
It is like it is properly alien.
Yeah. Which was about the only thing that we really liked about Man of Steel, wasn't it? That at least Krypton had a properly alien feel and culture to it.
Yeah, that was the thing about Man of Steel. That because it had those sort of pin, you know, those...
technology,
You know, when you used to put your face in them and things like that. So there was stuff that you thought, oh, that actually looks like it's quite...
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, it's not a little boring.
Do you know, I'd never... Hello, Ming. I'd never clocked that.
Hello, Ming. I'm just about to kill.
That's very incongruous, isn't it?
Well...
Richard Bryars is playing the door.
That's Penelope Will. But yeah, what I think is really clever about this execution scene is it says out pretty early that these people are not to be fucked with.
Yeah.
They're going to kill you.
Yeah, that's pretty nasty.
You.
Yeah.
Stop it.
So have they given him those little leather shorts for purposes of execution? Execution shorts.
They're execution shorts.
Would you wear a pair of those, Craig?
Well, I'm not sure I'd manage a pair.
I tell you, it's a wonder I can still see this film after all these years.
In he goes.
Stanley's going in.
Yeah, and he does this... Stanley Donnan, see any of this as well? No, they do that thing where they gives him the way and says, this will help you on your way. It's and you think, all right, so what does that mean? You're going to help him?
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. Again, the score here's...
Yeah, because then it suddenly stops and you get that...
Yeah.
Doom, 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 when the, when the coloured smoke appears.
That's right.
There you are, you see. This will help you on your way.
Really? It's got a funny wee sort of pubic line going all the way up there, hasn't it? Mm. See it?
Mm-hmm.
His pubic... I didn't realise that was called a pubic line.
I think you'll find it's technically called a treasure trail.
Is it? Treasure trail.
The road to Wellville. That's what that is.
That mask he used to wear.
Oh no. Chris, have you been in there?
Flash. Yeah, she doesn't have much to do in this.
Kills thing, aliens she? Without scratching.
Mm.
Well, I always remember finding her very uninteresting even as a kid, whereas on Nelly I'm used to made me feel a bit funny.
Oh, aye.
Actually, no, I don't remember when I first saw this film. I think it was maybe...
Really?
Was it maybe on the Christmas telling? Or something?
It was on...
We've talked about this before.
Yeah, it was Christmas Eve, 84.
Mm. Yeah.
I think perhaps that's when I first saw it, I think. Because I didn't see it in the cinema, definitely. Do you know what? I'd forgotten.
I like how the font is in his...
Yeah.
His
well, I was going to say, that's the great bit.
Earthly.
No, these wee cunts that are darting about. And she's topping the Doctor.
Yeah.
Who gets it in the neck... from Clitus for helping her out, but you know, fair dues. Right, yeah. It's a price worth paying.
He's done alright, yeah.
Just give me a minute.
If I believe it, a minute there as well.
God. Yeah.
So it's weird to think that shortly after he's him and Hilda cutting about.
Yeah, that's Hilda there.
What, in the leather shorts? Take that back, Martin.
Comments on the poster art, Chris?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It adorns the diamond wall.
Yeah, it was a Kibble White present.
Was it? And it's such a great logo as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Flash Gordon logo. With the superfluous little bit between the L and the A.
Yeah, what's that about?
I don't know. What is that about? There? It's just a lovely bit of design, isn't it? But I've just
fill it out, balance it out of it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now we've got Amelia's art to look at.
I think there's a couple of different posters. There was a smaller poster, which is black and has a more Art Deco centrepiece to it, which is also beautiful.
Yeah.
Did you shoot this scene, Chris?
Shoulder bag.
No, because...
That shoulder bag's a bit unsci-fi, isn't it?
Because now he's largely out of shot, so no, I didn't shoot this scene.
Oh, here we go, look.
No, don't cut.
Nice.
Now we get to, I think,
the
only other bit of exposition in the film.
Okay.
That's a very different looking corridor there.
It is, isn't it? It's quite grand.
It's like it's from a different film.
Mm. Well, because now you're like above stairs in the science bit. And I love the idea of a conveyor belt that takes you out of the park.
It's a tiny little bit of Art Deco detailing on that conveyor belt, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But apart from that, it's all pretty... standard. Now that's a proper kind of ray, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's a tip of the hat to the cyclotron that used to crop up in serials all the time. You remember, it was basically a console with a bendy tube and a dish on it, which in King of the Rocket Men, for example, is used to melt rock.
Quite an idea.
Is it? I had a big issue with King of the Rock.
The rocks will melt. What was it?
Did you?
Well...
Not a good guy?
No, they cheated the cliffhangers the most out of all the Republic series.
Sorry, here's the thing. I call upon the great doctor. But the only thing I'm pointing out here is that I think it's interesting that even when he's telling you this, you just don't believe it. So what the point I'm making is the... there's exposition, because I think it actually needs to stop for a second and have people talk.
Mm.
But actually, it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. You don't resent it, because that's all it lasts.
Mm. But he's just doing it out of badness.
I think he's just doing it out of badness. Mm. Anyway, King of the Rocket Men.
Yeah. So, in my memory, that was the... Because there's a kind of trope, isn't there, about those... And in fact, I think there's some comedy sketches about Republic serials when they do...
The car goes over the edge and actually they've jumped out the same before.
And my recollection is, by and large, that didn't happen, with the exception of King of the Rocket
Men. King of the Rocket Men was outrageous for it.
Where they really used to cheat,
didn't
they?
And it's funny you say that, because I remember, when I say about the car going over, there is one episode where they're all in a car.
That's what I'm thinking
about. You see them in the car going over the cliff.
Yeah.
And then when it cuts to the next episode, they all jump out, and it's a different shot now, of the car going over the cliff.
Now, at the time, what do you think when they made that, they thought, oh...
So, Jonathan mentioned this.
Now you're not doing it. Yeah, yeah. What was he saying about it?
About his crazy...
Yeah, he did say that.
Memories.
Yeah.
But I don't think... I think they make perfect sense, don't you?
Yeah.
So this is him getting sacked from NASA.
Really odd memories. What happened to that swimming pool? Okay, let's
then he's,
that.
Well, his wife dies.
Yeah, but that's all kind of a bit... Right, so Jonathan, his wife dies at the swimming pool.
Yeah, his wife dies, yeah. Which is... So yeah, he's all a bit...
Why didn't it help her is a good question.
That's what an amazing then backstory. Back to, though,
then
isn't it?
It's the, you know, then he's yeah. in the war,
mm-hmm. mm.
and then you see him. They're, you know, getting bombed as refugees and all that sort of thing. So it's
look at all the owls eyes.
He's playing his own dad, funeral. Isn't he?
Yeah,
I like when that happens. Yeah. Stuka.
So yeah, I mean, I think the thing
that's remembering watching The World at War.
Why do you remember in black and white?
The thing that
remembering watching The World at War.
Okay.
The thing that freaks me out. Is when it goes right back and you see him as a fetus, that freaks me out.
Yeah.
As a kid, that was
and
about...
he does that heavy breathing there.
Yeah.
I see something really muggly there for a second, but...
No, it's not, though.
They all look the same to you, don't they, Jack?
Papa.
Unbelievable.
Mama.
Study hopping. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a great sequence. And it doesn't go on too long.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know what's good about it as well, is it's not a mental fucking floaty dream sequence.
No, absolutely. Yeah. It's all very fast spin through.
Yeah. Mm.
So, can we remember any other Republic serials? Because I can only remember King of the Rocket Men,
Undersea Kingdom. I loved
Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon, but I think there's probably more.
Zorro. There's a fantastic Zorro one that sticks in my mind where... Because Zorro, I always thought, was really dull. It's just some kind of jumping about.
Yeah.
Yes. Or, you know,
I don't like Mexicans either.
Except where he does do the Z bit. That was I always liked the Z bit.
Zorro.
Z on a wall.
Z's the sign for Zorro. That's the bit I remember.
Anyway, there's one of them where the local town and the local Don Diego de Vargas or whatever is they're under siege by a sort of cult who keep on raiding the towns and whatever.
Uh-huh.
And the cult is led. They go into a cave, this big cave, and there's a figure in a sort of big metal suit. Who sits there and is like this sort of metallic god who tells them what to do, and you've got to do that and go and get them and come back here and bring them back here and fuck up the town and all this sort of thing. And of course the big reveal at the end is it's the birds, it's the cosy old Don who runs the town, and it's like, oh, it's actually him all the time. You can tell he's bad because like Undersea Kingdom, crazy old bastard has denoted somebody going off ahead because their hair falls down the front. Instead of it being all nice and slick back, teeth it falls a wee bit forward. Yeah, I'm like, oh, he's lost his fucking chops.
Yeah.
Just watch out if that ever happens to Ron Mailer.
Did you start laughing a lot at the name of the planet and Kingdom of Mongo?
No.
It's a perfectly good question. You know where I'm going with this?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Prince Deacon of the Rocket Men.
Now, in King of the Rocket Men, I only ever remember there being a Rocket Man.
His name was King. His son name was King.
So who are the Rocket Men?
So he
men?
Was King of the Rocket Men.
Who's the men?
Was he?
His son name was King, definitely.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was his name Michael King?
I don't know.
Trevor King.
Was it Larry Dave King? Was it Dave King?
Lord King. Dave King. Yeah, Dave King.
His Wang.
His Wang. Wang King.
Bang.
Yeah. That's good.
It's Burmese cousin.
Now, this is Anne Danielle turn up being all sexy.
Is she in this?
She is, before she married Sam Torrance.
She should be.
Golfer. To the stars. This is actually quite a creepy line.
Hole in one. Yeah, many men died to bring
you here. No, it's the one about more agreeable, but then she says...
Oh, that's right, yeah, well, they make me forget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
But they make you won't mind remembering.
Oh.
Like, ugh.
Oh, what's this? It's rape juice. Oh, nice. Yeah, great. Basically. Yeah, thanks.
But then, as I say, this all feeds into the idea that he's a nasty
cunt. He's an unspeakable piece of work,
I like the way she's just, well, fuck
it. Might as well. Let me at it.
Of course, this leads to the comedy sequence of him thinking to Dale while she's fucking giving him a hand job. And he's going... So, yeah, I don't remember very many other. There were endless, obviously, endless Flash Gordon
Yeah, there's also permutations of Flash Gordon and Buck Rogers.
I just love them. You know the thing where they had that I was totally obsessed by when I was a kid? Bear in mind, by this time we've seen, you know, Star Wars and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Was remember the wee ships would start and they'd have the, like, basically a wee firework out the back and they'd go, and round and round and away. I was fascinated by
that. I can understand that.
I thought that was a cat's ass.
Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon were interchangeable though, weren't they?
Yeah.
And I can never remember which one.
I think it just depended on what kind of leotard he was wearing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, absolutely.
He liked a close-fitting sort of
hugging
tunic, didn't he?
Didn't Buster Crabbe...
Tunic's a funny word, isn't it? Tunic is amusing.
Tunic.
Didn't Buster Crabbe turn up in Buck Rogers in the 21st Century?
It's a bit like tabard.
Tabard's a funny word as well. Tabard.
Sorry.
Didn't Buster Crabbe turn up in Buck Rogers in the 21st Century?
What, the Gil Gerard one?
Yeah.
Did he?
I think he did. I seem to remember seeing something with a tash. Buster Crabbe.
Buster Crabbe's tash sounds like a fucking half man, half biscuit song. Have you ever heard the version of that with the words?
No.
It's fucking beyond the stars.
I fly.
It's really
good. It's really good.
Gil Gerard or Gerard.
Yeah.
Who recently turned up in the film The Nice Guys. He's very good, isn't it?
Not the good guys.
He at one point weighed over 300 pounds.
He's a good guy.
He weighed well over 20 stone at one point.
Who did?
Gil Gerard.
Gil Gerard or Gil Gerard, whatever the fuck his name is.
Gil Gerard, Gil Gerard.
Yeah.
We'll just edit the right presentation of that.
Is this Suzanne Daniel?
I think it is, well.
Oh, yeah.
I rather think it is, sir.
Yes, that's Suzanne Daniel. Yeah.
Suzanne's Daniel.
What's she up to these days? Do we know?
No, she's talking about with Sam Thomas, living the high life.
Yes, why not?
Living it well.
She's the captain's wife of the medic team.
She's the lady captain.
Yeah.
That's quite a difficult receptacle to drink.
It is. It really is. I was just thinking that. How do you stack them in the cupboard?
Yeah, that's a good point. Quite difficult in the dishwasher as well, isn't it?
Bottoms up.
Yeah, waiting another day.
But, hey, there's a scene where...
She's got very small hands.
Oh, yeah, he's foxed them.
Yeah, that's right. So how's he managed to get
I think you'll find he explains.
Yeah.
He does, actually. He does so, and he, it's kind of a triumphant moment in the film.
Yeah.
When he tells her what he did.
Isn't that the whole thing about
a bit of a problem with planetary...
Yeah, I'm going to say that this whole thing about the different moons...
Yeah,
it doesn't check out.
That wouldn't be able to contain an atmosphere.
What's your issue here? What's wrong with that? Here we
go. Well, you see, but I'd like to think that actually...
Mongo part of a sort of the same planet, basically?
Well, yeah. I don't think Mongo is like a planet with moons.
No.
I think it's a plane.
Oh,
yeah. It's some sort of dimensional plane.
All right.
That you travel through the vortex.
That's still not, in terms of mere physics, that's still not answering the question.
You have no idea what the laws of physics are.
Did you notice that James Cameron nicked that look for his fucking planet in what's it called? Avatar. It's got all those. Got all those sort of hanging bits.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Hanging bits.
Jesus, yeah, Jesus, that's an interminable film.
I don't know. I slept through most of it. I've never seen Titanic. And I've slept through
the second half of Titanic's good.
Yeah, when they start dying,
first half's terrible.
Yeah, first half's terrible.
Second half's really good. See when they actually
hard to believe.
See when they actually hit the and then it unfolds, and it's perfectly entertaining.
Just another often one of my shouting, Jack Rose.
I'm using
Yossi Hughes is the captain, isn't he?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And Ewan Stewart is the first officer.
That's right.
But you better get back and no get onto the boats.
Man.
Oh, he's a shocking actor, Ewan Stewart.
He is, he's a dreadful actor. Also, that was a vile calumny on The Man.
Yeah, which it was far from true.
Really?
Yeah, the guy who that character was based on lived in, I think it was from Dumfries. And the family objected to the fact that they suggested he was shooting past him. She wasn't at all.
No, and, it was ridiculous.
What's his chops? Cameron eventually gave some money to build
a statue or something. Which made a total lie of this nonsensical, you know, it's all accurate.
Yeah.
Now, I'd like to point out the music.
Especially since most of it is just ripped off The Night to Remember.
The music in this section, I think, is particularly exceptional.
Now, which piece of music is it?
This is the bit where it's like, and then it kicks in. Whenever she is firing and shooting, it kicks up And then when she's running about, it's...
Oh,
okay.
Very
just amazing, game, isn't it?
Mm. It actually looks like the inside of a box of chocolates as well, doesn't it?
They squeal that. There you go. But you can't get away.
No.
Because here come the glasses cunts.
Jack and his mates.
Eyes down.
That's like a job at the hospital. Legs all up. That's what we do. We do there, we sit there.
I was so totally fascinated by that when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it was so outlandish in design.
Yeah.
You think, oh, how's that work? And that's what I love about this. That's what I was saying about the, you know, the fact that if it's a kind of a dimensional plane or that. Mm-hmm. Because they don't try to do that thing that's quite lazy in science fantasy. Not science fiction, because that's different, because they're trying to create some sort of, you know, logical progression and things. Mm. But in science fantasy, it should just be fucking mental.
Yeah, batshit, yeah.
Don't you think you can make any number sound more science fictional by adding like beta or something to it,
or a letter?
Yeah, that works. Well, doesn't it? Yeah,
764D.
D. Yeah, that works.
Mulatto.
What?
You can't say that.
I can.
You can't,
because that is the actress's name. It's Mulatto.
Mariangelo Mulatto.
Yeah.
Now I watched this with.
Did she not die relatively recently?
I think she did. I think you're right. Yeah.
She was great.
I watched this with an Italian friend of mine a few years ago.
What do you mean, Flash Gordon approach?
And he found Mariangelo Mulatto just endlessly hysterical.
Yeah.
He thought it was the funniest thing he'd ever seen in film.
Really?
We know this. Was she like on Benny Hill Show or something?
No, she's very serious, actually.
Right,
but it was just the idea of her, it was just Mariangelo Mulatto saying things like, "We know these." Or even it's her inflection. So later on during the torture scene of Ornella Muti, she says, "We don't enjoy these at all."
Now this is when, I mean, Jack has given up.
Green father.
But in this one, we do have lots of great, genuinely quite lovely bit of mad painting.
Yep,
love some genuinely barking mad cameos, particularly John Osborne.
Yeah.
Yes, green father.
Of course, which other film of Mike Hodges does he appear in?
Get Car.
He's in Get Car. Get Jack Carter.
Given the bloody bottle.
Now, Peter Duncan was a guest on the short-lived STV show The Hour. And I knew...
Wasn't that short-lived?
No, that's true. Yeah. I knew someone who worked in it.
Lasted at least an hour.
And Peter Duncan offered to... wasn't that funny?
It was great.
Man.
There he is.
So anyway, Peter Duncan.
My mother was a fucking slut.
Peter Duncan offered to do a rendition of this scene.
Did he?
Yeah.
Good guy.
Good guy.
I've met Peter Duncan. He's a very nice man.
Is he?
Yeah.
Head of the Boy Scouts, is that right?
Something like that. I met him when he was doing a show in Edinburgh, and he was a genuinely nice bloke. He was lovely.
That's quite indicative, though, of the decline of Western and particularly British civilisation.
What is that?
King Scout used to be Peter Duncan, is now Bear Grylls.
Good point.
Once again, on the hunt across the world for 100% Egyptian cotton sheets.
When I was a little kid, we recreated this scene. So we had
find all this
it's really horrible.
So we had a really big cardboard box, right, and we put various holes into it, and we put the cat in it. And so what would happen is me and my friends, you'd take it in turns of putting your hand down the hole, and the cat would attack you at random points. And so we did used to say, "I'm ready, green father." That was Hen the cat.
This was...
I was absolutely fascinated with this scene.
Me too.
I think there's a bit... Oh, it's horrible as well.
It's that horrible green
screen. Yeah, and then he fucking chips him as well.
He's like, "All right, well, that's that then.
That's you. Send me on
my
way."
Send me my way, yeah.
Now, there's a bit of an urban myth that went round.
I
don't know if anybody cares anymore, because nobody talks about anything that matters anymore. But
go on.
There was a bit of an urban myth that went round for a long time that he appeared in this as a Duncan Dares.
Oh, that's not true.
Which is not as much.
Yeah, this predates.
Because I think that's a bit of a memory mashup.
Is it, in fact, a Mandela effect?
Not quite. I think it's more a memory mashup. Because a movie memory mashup.
It's like fuck people like us are here.
Just to get this right.
Just to get this right.
Get the shit right.
from 300 people who give a fuck, because they have to get on a bus in the morning to work.
Now, the reason I think is there's a bit of a memory mashup here, movie memory mashup, because if you remember,
Return to Oz,
Paul Heine,
oh yeah,
appeared in Water.
Uh-huh.
As an Inn at the Deep End.
He did, yes. Of which Duncan Dares was just a junior version.
Exactly. Yeah, so I think there's a bit of a fucking mad crossover. And I think at the time, there were probably programmes or Did You See and things like that, or Blue Peters, where they mentioned it all. And it's all got a bit scrambled in people's minds.
Yeah.
Don't you think the mention of necrophilia is a
bit weird,
odd?
Yeah.
Mm.
I also find the creature that you've also fucked and carried ahead to, the creature that he falls into with the creepy as well.
Oh yeah, there's also a mention of cannibalism in this.
Yeah, and I always
just hang him up with the rest of the hanging meat.
Yeah, that's a bit weird, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, but
there's also that thing about there's a bit when his hair goes into it as well. I don't like that.
There's a bit where and he comes out basically covered.
You'd have to wash him from. You'd have to wash him, wouldn't you? You'd have to wash him gently, Chris. Just give him a wee nice wash. Maybe some. I mean, you'd go as far as a Timothy, and not the 2-in-1 bottle. Well, you would buy him.
Yeah, except that, frankly, his hair is the last bit I'd watch.
What do we think of...
here you go. He explains to you.
Yeah, this is him. Even the songs of the Beatles.
Yeah, Einstein.
It armoured me, girl.
Beatles, yeah.
They couldn't wipe those things away. Oh, you can't beat the human spirit. It's fucking great, Topo.
He is great, but I mean, it has to be said that Fiddler on the Roof is rotten except for Ant.
You see, Fiddler on the Roof is a film designed for fast forward.
Yeah.
Because what you need to do is watch the very start of it, and then fast forward to the songs, stop for the bit where before they sing Life, where they have the sort of dance off with the Russians, and then stop.
Yeah, fair enough.
Scroll through Sunrise, Sunset as well.
Paul Michael Glaze is in it, isn't he?
Is he?
I think he is in the film.
Oh.
Do you see the V-shaped formation of the Hawkmen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That always reminds me of the end of Copycats.
You're such a dick.
That's good.
Which one's that true? Go on.
Oh, I don't like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, because
you know
don't...
me, I don't like stuff like that.
This is a great... this is a classic scene, obviously. But here's the thing. I think I pointed this out to you before. See, so they ask her all these questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the little light flashes when she lies, right? Mm-hmm. So you're left with a pilot. No, light flashes. Who do you imagine you're protecting? The Imperial Surgeon, another lover of yours, right? And she says, your jealousy of yours made me mad. Has it made you mad?
Uh-huh.
It doesn't flash. It doesn't flash. Because it's the truth.
Wow.
See that?
And you've really
But that's what I love about this film. Mm-hmm. Somebody's actually fucking thought of that.
Yep, absolutely.
Gone through the logic.
I like to think Mike Hodges has looked at that and gone, no, wait a minute, that's true. Don't have the light flashing.
Yeah.
That's true.
I like Mike Hodges. I think he's still alive. He's a fair old age now.
Is he like cinematographer age?
He must be.
Is they not allowed to die until they hit 100?
He made The Terminal Man, which is a brilliant film.
Oh,
George Segal.
Oh, yeah.
The guy becomes... He has the sort of stuff that sedates him, stops him from being a killer.
Yeah.
Then he becomes addicted to it, so he has to keep killing together. It's great.
So this is the thing where it's really creepy, where it turns out he's watching her being tortured.
Yeah.
Which is really fucking
and
weird.
And he's eating his tea.
Well, I was convinced... No, when I was a kid, I was convinced that was Pecora. Because it was the only thing I knew at the time that you dipped and ate.
What do you think the Bohems did?
I didn't know Pecora when I was a kid.
Well, my dad did the design work on the Shish Mahal.
Ah,
so we used to go there quite a lot.
So did the Bohems presumably bore into you?
I think they're meant it, and they do it as well.
When I was
because later on she says, I didn't believe my father was that bad until he let Clytus put the boar worms on me. So they fucking do it.
One of the lies that my dad told me when I was a little kid was that he had
your bum, Jack.
That's good. No, he didn't tell me that. Don't like that. Hang on.
To make the bum.
Oh no, it's frozen.
Yeah, making the bum.
We got a little freeze here.
Oh
so.
God,
it's all right. We can adjust. Anyway, while it's freezing.
No, it's the DVD. It's not the DVD. It's the player. It's a piece of shit.
Well, there we go. There back we in. So my dad used to tell us that he had termites drilling into his body, going to his heart.
What?
Yeah.
Why did he do that?
I don't know.
It's just making the bums, eating the bum soup.
He doesn't now.
No, he doesn't.
Presumably, super heat treatment got rid of them.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, they're all gone.
So this is the double cross. We've had to, just in case anybody's wondering if we've gone out, but we've had to scroll forward just a wee bit.
As we stand, Richard...
Richard O'Brien has just produced just the key.
Thunder. Yeah. And he's got a golden ticket now.
Nice confession.
Some fucking big shiny Max, isn't he?
Oh yeah, he's a big guy.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Because Peter Wingard's not a wee guy.
Yeah, he's a, no. big, he's a big guy. He's a good guy, though.
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
Yes.
He's a good guy. He's not a very good guy.
You know what? You know, be great.
It's actually, I'd go as far as to say he's a good cunt.
You know, be really too. Great.
Yeah.
You know, be great.
What?
Being pals with Max von Sydow.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That'd be great.
I don't know. Maybe a bit.
Is he a dead man?
That's all right.
Do you not think he's a bit like he is in Hannah and Her Sisters?
Well, that'd be all right.
I've like taught you everything I have to. I don't know.
But that's all right, because he makes, obviously, because in Hannah and Her Sisters, you can tell, he makes a nice sandwich.
Yeah, but when he's making that sandwich, I could be kissing Barbara Hershey.
That sounds like a reason to be friends with
her. I saw her recently in the film Insidious, which is actually quite a good film. Insidious.
Oh, that's fucked up again.
No, it's in, all right.
And
we not just see that, but...
No, we're good.
Still the same scene, I think.
You're right, it's okay.
I thought it went back
then. No, you're right.
And
see, that's when he's just said that he's going to let him marry her.
Yeah, after she's been born.
It's all weird.
Anyway, Insidious. No, Barbara Hershey turns up.
See,
she's 67.
Oh, sorry about this, pals.
It's only just a bit, Jackie. It's fine. Anyway, Barbara Hershey, go on. You were saying.
Still looks good. Still looks good.
Yeah. Oh, and he has his wee hanky as well, and he says, "With pleasure." Mm. I've got to get you'll be glad to know, folks, that for the next film we're watching and recording, Craig's bought his proper grown-up DVD player.
Yeah, I've brought the Blu-ray. Yeah.
Not the one I got out of a fucking Christmas cracker in 1984.
Yeah. Come on, Dale, you can do it. That would be really sore to be carried like that, though.
It would be terribly sore.
To be honest, he wouldn't be smiling.
He seems to be enjoying himself.
Yeah, would you really, at that speed, also be getting trailed like that? You'd just be hanging straight down.
But yeah, that's probably true.
Sorry, guys, this DVD's... It's the player. Ah, here we are. Voltan's floating palace.
Oh, I love
palace.
That.
Yeah.
So with his fucking... with his big, giant platter of cheese.
This is the sequence that you used to see on Screen Test a lot, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Right, we think this is broken.
Oh,
spit on a little bit.
We'll spit it on just a wee bit, but we know where it's going. So they all arrive... And then you have this whole thing about, you know, are we going to be joining up with...
I've gone back in time, though.
Yeah, it's all right. Calm it.
I'm quite calm. I'm just saying it quite calmly.
Oh, yeah. They all calm.
Fuck me, the aspect ratio is changing. Everything's changing. How do you do that, Chris?
Wow, how, that's an interesting effect.
Oh, that's right. No, Blue's not John Hallam. I don't think he gets a name in this, John Hallam.
No. He's in it quite a lot, though, isn't he? Now I can serve up some facts about the band Queen while we're
go on then
waiting that.
Tell us a few facts about Queen.
Roger Taylor's full name is actually Roger Meadows Taylor.
Is it hyphenated?
No.
Well, that doesn't matter then, does it?
There we are. Mm. Brian May's father is called Harold. Yeah, is that
Harold May.
Yeah,
Harry May.
Harold. May.
It's also one of those names that's a sentence.
What is?
What is?
What? Roger Meadows Taylor.
Brian May.
Brian May, yeah, he might, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he's got the hornet thing.
Right, I'm just going to go back a wee bit. Because I'd had to, sorry folks, but I mean, frankly, if any of you are actually watching this along with the film, I'll send you £3 in stamps.
Very decently. Oh, we've not managed to skip past the
bit. Sorry, there'll be stars for Organisation for Spastic Stamps. from the late 80s.
Prince Deacon. He's lovely here.
So this is we've sort of found ourselves darting about the universe. Uh-huh. So Flash is making his escape.
Here we go.
Yeah. So where we're picking up from is Flash has just slipped down a big long vine.
Yeah.
Right.
If you need any more facts about the Bank Queen, then just let me know.
Sure.
I can supply those.
I think the salient point from this evening's presentation is that I need to get a new DVD player.
Yeah.
I really need to get a Blu-ray player, don't I?
You do. You need to get your
I must
shit.
Be the last person.
You think you need to get
sorry. I was just laying on the house, the food, the electricity, the fucking recorder's not enough, is it?
The chat.
Just so that you can fucking descend on us every now and again and then fuck off again.
That's fine. We need to. I'm using it as indicative of the lack of shit.
Can I say that?
Oh, right, okay.
Can I say that?
Get your shit together, mate.
Quicksand is never now used, is it?
Sorry?
Quicksand is never used now as a
pot device. I used to be
really scared of quicksand.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. It's not really a thing. It's not really a thing.
No, it's not.
Was it a thing?
No, it's a made up nonsense.
It doesn't really exist.
Right.
But in fact, it was so ubiquitous that people thought, again, it's a bit of a memory mashup, people thought they knew how to escape it.
Yeah.
Because like, you just stand still yeah. and all that. Well, you can't stand still because nothing's going to happen. Because you'd just be standing still.
I remember getting caught in a bit of mud and thinking it must be quicksand.
And being a bit I remember when we were kids, we'd be running about in the beach in Millport and all that and worrying that there might be quicksand.
Yeah.
Well, here comes the big fucking...
Why do you never get quicksand now?
Oh, see, I don't like that.
It's horrible, isn't it?
It's like it's a spider taking them into its big abdomen. Yeah. Oh, I don't like it.
That is creepy.
You know what it reminds me of? It makes me as uncomfortable as...
I don't know.
You know the monsters in... The Beastmaster.
Yeah.
Oh, they come and grab you and then all the goo comes out and they eat you. Yeah.
That kind of nasty in the mist as well, aren't they?
What did we think of Dalton as a Bond?
Yeah, I like him.
Happy with Dalton
as Bond does absolutely everything that they keep giving Daniel Craig credit for now.
Yeah, absolutely.
He can act.
Dalton gets the shit for doing exactly what Craig does. Except Dalton's got much more charisma.
Are we talking about Craig as in Craig in this room?
No. That Craig?
Yeah.
No, I'm the good guy. I'm not that guy.
You'd be a good Bond, Craig.
Daniel Craig.
He is the same.
I would be a good Bond. Slightly overweight and old.
No, not at all.
I love this. It's
you'd be like Bond from Never Say Never Again. That'd be the Bond you'd be.
That'd be more like the sort of Bond is like, nah, I can't be bothered.
Daniel Craig's... he's not a bad actor. You know, he's appeared in things where he's quite good. He's quite good in Infamous. He's quite good in Our Friends North, but he doesn't do anything that quite a lot of other people can do.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty heavily overrated.
Mm. Yeah. He's fine. That's it. No more than...
Yeah, exactly. That. He's just like, meh. But it was not like...
Quite like his wee cameo in The Force Awakens. Because it is so obviously him when he's walking...
But it's not like if he didn't turn up one day, they'd say, oh, well, we can't make this film because he's not here. They'd just say, like, just go down to Equity and chuck a stick. And whoever it hits, just get them to do it.
Are you delighted to hear that Gary Barlow is going to be the next Star Wars film?
Yeah, what the fuck is that? I saw somebody say that on Facebook. That's not good. I don't like that.
He'll be a stormtrooper or something.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt Johnson from The is in The Force Awakens.
Is he now?
I'd be like, Claws the Blasters. Close the blast door. Shut up, your dick.
Close the blast door.
He'll be fucking Stormtrooper OBE.
So come on, let it shine. That's what we say about the floor.
He is the most extraordinary establishment.
There's something under that sofa, then, mate. You need to get that afterwards. I don't know what it is, mate. Just don't let me go without getting that outfit.
Is it a hanky?
Is it a hanky? Is it one of mine?
No, it's mine.
All right. I'm not going to get that out for you then if it's a hanky.
Isn't there someone famous who played a dead man at the end of Sherlock as well?
What?
You know, in the most recent series, they did like a montage at the end of Sherlock.
Yeah, I think they're right, but I can't remember who it is.
We'll come back
to that one on the next film.
Yeah, the Hawkmen have big lungs, haven't they? Yeah. For fuck's sake.
We'll clear that up. Reverse FAQ.
They've just proposed.
Have they not?
Just a bit to get married.
They've known each other for very long.
No.
In total, maybe about half an hour.
So now they're going to fight.
Can I also point out
this is great.
Now, this also produces another line that appears in the video, which is, Flash, I love you, but we only have 14 hours to save the earth.
Which has always annoyed me, because he's like getting killed at the time. It's not like he's fucking about.
Yeah.
It's not like he's like, you know, just having a nap.
Stop arsing about.
Yeah. I'm actually...
Will you just get over here?
I've got an over-eroticised Welshman on top of me, throttling me.
On a spiky platform. Can I also point out that the belt buckle as a heroic device seems to have gone away as well?
Well,
he's... Like, heroes used to have great belt buckles, didn't they? He's got a lovely belt buckle. Mm. You don't get any of that anymore.
Yeah.
But interesting. Who has the belt buckle?
Flash.
But interesting enough, that's not a hero's belt buckle then.
Why?
Because that's an imperial uniform.
He's the hero wearing it.
How's it got a flash on it as well? I mean, that doesn't actually make sense when you think about it.
Yeah, it's like it would be like all of the vests. All the imperial people have vests with.
No, this is.
I think we best leave it.
Bell, just let that lie.
Yeah, let it go.
This is. I think this is the sequence that I remember most from the film, as having been used in publicising.
Yeah, this was used a lot in publicising.
But also,
it's
just brilliant.
It's so beautiful
because it is kinky.
Look at the fucking size of the set.
Yeah, and they're whipping each other.
Yeah, and he's standing right.
And
on
that freaks you out. That's all been nicked by the fucking the air pool thing in Game of Thrones.
Has it? Oh, never seen that program.
The what?
You know the thing.
Or the moon door.
The moon door. The
air pool.
Whatever.
Okay, here we go. Here come the spikes.
Oh, here comes Spike.
Yeah.
Hiya
Bandit.
Yeah.
That's a bit weird.
Hiya Bandit. Come on.
Madness, humanity, all Flash.
Yeah, that's it.
My name is Kunta Kinte. Your name is Boller. There you go.
There's great bits where Brian Bliss is just standing in the back going, whoa, hey!
Do you like
punch
him?
Him!
Do you like him in that film about that rude bear?
Oh, Ted.
Yeah.
Oh, Sam J. Jones.
Yeah, he's
Ted's all right.
I mean, Ted's quite fun. Well, he makes it good.
Yeah, he's quite fun.
He's very good, isn't it? He aged very well, isn't he?
You think?
So, I thought he did.
I think you'll find that he's much better in The Terror from The Terror Beneath Loch Ness.
Wow. Oh.
Where he's...
is it you coming at him?
Where he's actually a copper in Loch Ness who says that he has to report to police headquarters in Glasgow.
Fantastic.
Which seemed ridiculous at the time and badly uninformed, but was weirdly prescient about the creation of Police Scotland.
Absolutely, yeah.
Was he not also in something like The Green Hornet or something? I seem to remember he was in another really low-budget superhero film.
Tell you one thing, it's really warm in here.
Yeah, it is quite warm in here.
Isn't it though?
Oh, you.
My big head sweating. Just promise me you'll do that. See, that's just like, he's just trying to fuck him up,
isn't he?
Oh, no. Oh,
he's got a wee
no.
stalker on.
No. The Flash is going to say
now watch this bit.
Yep.
Here he comes, look.
Let him go.
Yeah, he's good. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Let him go. And he says, why has he done that? I think this is a great line.
Quite poetic, some of this film, isn't it?
It's got a beautiful script. Yeah,
this is the turnaround.
This is the turn of the tide.
Yeah.
I love that he calls him Prince instead of just Barry.
Look.
What is this? Humanity. Madness. Oh, Flash. Yeah.
Look at Topol's big
John
face.
John
so
in the middle going like that. Wherever you go, I follow.
Come on, Barry.
What is this handshake?
Goes like that. Got you.
All good. And that's the turn of the tide.
Yeah. He's very good in this, isn't he, Timothy Dalton?
Timothy Dalton's great. We love him.
And now there's a problem. There's the problem. Here he comes.
Is that War Rocket Ajax?
No. That's not till later. This is Clytus's thing.
Ajax
to bring back his body.
War Rocket Ajax looks fucking brilliant.
Oh yeah, it's immense. Yeah.
So
did you do that thing with the time where you would like constantly draw up spaceships? Yeah.
So this film sort of seems to have become part of the kind of popular cultural psyche, but I think quite recently, like people making reference to Brian Blessed,
maybe in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
What I think is interesting about this sequence in terms of actual plot and actual subtext
is that
Clytus feels that he can go there totally unaccompanied.
Yeah, it's true.
No guards or anything. They're just not going to touch me.
Yeah,
because
we've got the great eye bit as well.
Yep. Well, this is the thing. This is another one they're saying about the script. They say a slightly arch script.
Yeah, go on.
Where it says, I took you away, you tortured Dora. Interesting girl. I think she found it rather enjoyable. There's still lovely when he says, Clyde's batter.
Yeah.
Splatter.
Have a batter. Go on, Flash. You can give him a wee go now.
And Flash just kills him.
Yep.
Yeah.
There he goes. And this is blood. I was terrified of this when I was a kid.
It freaks me out.
Da-da-da-da-da. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, look at the eyeballs.
And the tongue.
And the tongue, yeah.
But what's great is that the action of Baron is not, right, let's start fighting. It's like, let's get a fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to blow us to pieces. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not happy, is he?
To be fair, Voltan, your kingdom's quite gay.
Yeah.
Look at him. For a big hairy man, there's a bear thing going on
You are a big hairy man in a harness.
Yeah.
With a silver shimmery disco palace.
Yeah, what's going on here? I don't think we have to look too deeply.
There's a lot of cheese.
He loves the cheese.
Lots of posing tables there.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that there's no pretense, you know, that those wings, you could fly or anything.
No.
Fly, my Hawkman. Have you used that shot about six times in the film?
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Especially if they were, oh, got a new shirt.
Look, they get a new butt buckle.
New buckle, yeah. Now he's wearing a good guy buckle.
Proper good guy buckle, yeah.
Oh, no problem. My body reaches maximum velocity with a new 300 feet. And when I saw that line, I thought, oh, I better go and look that up. Don't know what that means. Straight to the encyclopedia of knowledge.
It does stay at that velocity all the way down, though.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're jumping that far. But the point I'm making is, as a kid, I didn't know that, so I went and looked up. Oh, that's fucking...
Richard Stilgo.
That looks so good, isn't it?
Finders Blasters.
It's paused again.
It's Ming from Mongo!
It's Ming from Mongo. When he goes to dance a little bongo.
That's it. Here we go. We're back in. Here we go.
So, do you think it wasn't that big a hit, this?
It made back more than its money. It did all right. It did better than the other film that we're doing related to it tonight.
Yeah.
Which was a big flop. This one, it made back about twice its budget.
This did?
Yeah.
Well, that's quite good.
It's quite good, but I would say 2.5 times to 3 times.
Yeah, I was going to say, because actually, by the time you factor in, like...
marketing and distribution.
Distribution and marketing costs and producer prices and gross averages. I think this is completely fucked up.
Oh, yeah,
it'll
be fine.
Then, you've got to making twice as right. We've now spilled forward
just a little bit
to the scene with Ming making has just made Flash his offer, because I've never before met your like. Now we've missed that bit, so I'll do the scene for you.
Okay,
you've done the rest of the film,
I'll do the film for you.
Okay, let's do it.
Ming the Merciless, here and now, offers Flash Gordon a kingdom of Mongo to rule over as his own. You're crazy.
Very good.
He says, because I've never formed your thing. We shall... Dale Arden, she's exceptional. We shall marry her and send our... Here's a really creepy line that he says. We send our imperial progeny back to populate your earth.
It's very similar a bit to Empire Strikes Back, when he zips down the wee...
That's very true. Yeah. Well, contemporary films.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
So this is one where...
paper mache model.
Hopefully there won't be any more... many more fuck-ups in this.
Wow, we'll see.
Look at that model getting blasted.
That's great.
Flash thinks Flash is dead again.
Flash, I've known you for about 40 years. I've literally known you for the length of this film.
Flash, I loved you. Slightly gone off you.
Flash, I loved you. Flash, I loved you. What was your second name? What was your real first name?
Yeah.
It was literally like someone she'd got off with in a nightclub.
It was Alki Gordon.
Flash is a sort of kind of generic nickname for a sort of sports type, isn't it?
Well, that's the point. Yeah. He's just...
What's the derivation of that? Well, why Flash? Just because they're fast?
Because they're fast on the
sports.
There's
Flash Thompson in Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Mr. Bully, wasn't there?
His real name was
Flash
Cecil.
Harry. No, here's the...
Cecil Gordon.
Is it?
Yeah.
Cecil.
Dudley.
Dudley.
This is for a turn. I read you.
Where are we?
Hello.
Flag banner rocket cycle.
He is just repeating everything he says. We are in our border. Thanks, Voltan.
What's he going to do with...
Understood.
Yeah, what's
he's quite
do
good at all this thing. Shit for a guy who's just a 40 minutes before this was...
Yeah, yeah. Just a broken down, was slightly disturbed American football player.
Yeah.
He's had a couple of flying lessons.
Why do you think he's slightly disturbed?
Well, because he'd had to go on that holiday to get away. Yeah. Oh, you know how it is, he says to her, just got to spend some time wanking.
Yeah.
So where did they find him from?
Oh, like a flipping panda! Oh!
Where did they find the actor then? Where did they get
Sam J. Jones? He was a model.
Found him in a bath house and
found him in my basement. There's a touch of the
damn Mongo person. We're going to get a
that. Can't say that.
All it needs is mud.
TJ, wouldn't you like that?
All they need is a bit of mud.
A bit of mud. Yeah, absolutely.
Look, they're fighting with pillows. So that works.
Yep, tear each other's hair out.
Yeah. And then the other ladies are watching and laughing. Yeah.
They're good at all this.
They are good at fighting, yeah.
I think they've practiced, Graham. Have you thought?
I think they have, yeah, I have, yeah. It's a wee bit like Superman's bed from Superman 2, isn't it?
That's right. Which looks really, really uncomfortable. Imagine, imagine how sweaty that would get.
Oh, and it's sticking to your back.
Oh, it'd smell of bums.
Yeah. Smell of Christopher Eve bums. Smell like bum soup.
The bowl.
Bum soup. That was on today at the hospital.
At the hospital canteen, yeah. Bum soup.
Oh, man. Got to stop making that shit.
You certainly don't want croutons in it.
Yeah, I don't like bum
soup. That skinny geezer fucking in the black shirt giving it a wee stir.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Oh, he's responsible for the smell.
That's also a bit creepy, isn't it? He drinks a power potion.
Yeah, it's basically judging by the colour of it, I'd say it's Gallus.
Gallus?
Gallus. Yeah, I like this wee line where this is keeping our word is what makes us better than you.
Do you know how?
Which is her one sort of frosty line in the whole film.
It's a bit Donald Trump, really, isn't it? All this.
It is a little bit. Do you know what was a measure of how good this film is?
Mm-hmm.
The lack of impressions that you've done. Because too focused on this.
We're not even going to let you get in with one.
No. Even though you tried with copycats earlier on.
Yeah.
No, I was just making observation about copycats. Well, they couldn't do any fucking impressions, could they? Let's face it. So.
Yeah.
Oh, Andrew O'Connor could.
Could he? Who could he do then?
Who was that one that TV Cream put up when he was in the audience?
I don't know. Both. Someone said they think it's meant to be Rowan Atkinson.
Oh, I think it's Rowan. I think it's Andrew O'Connor doing Rowan Atkinson.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It is, yeah. That character used to do.
Yeah.
Rawr.
What do you mean, Flash Gordon approaching?
Well,
Hawkman rockets.
I'm saying that Flash Gordon.
Yeah. He said it. He said this way.
Approaching. All right.
That is what I am saying.
If you have got a problem with that, take it to somebody else. I'm here with no eyes, two wee fucking screens,
now
sitting here trying to play bingo.
I'd like to point out Thor 2, when they attacked the city and all that, with the things and then the thunder, the lightning shield and all that, I think this is directly lifted from
now,
this.
Now, one of the things I like about the Thor films is that they create... Valhalla's a separate world.
Yeah.
It feels really different. I like that.
But I think a lot of the second, not the first one, but the second one, I think a lot's taken from this.
See, I'm looking over his shoulder cheekily at
it's
you.
It's a wee model there.
Come and chase me.
Craig. About a Duncan Norvell.
Craig, in copycats,
yeah.
When they do impressions of fictional comedy characters,
mm-hmm.
I think that's inappropriate. So when they've got someone doing See You Jimmy. Well, because you're trading off someone else's comic creation.
That's actually really odd, because when I watched that this morning, lying in bed with the morning cup of tea, I had that very same thought. I don't understand doing impressions of comedy characters.
He's raging, this guy. He's always raging.
He is.
Because you're training off someone else's work.
Yeah.
Lovely special. There's lovely sound effects in this as well.
Who was it that was doing the See You Jimmy again?
It looked like Dustin G.
No, I don't think it was Dustin
G. No, he was his mate. He wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Was he in Copycats?
No. Well, they weren't all Copycats.
Aidan J. Harvey, was it?
They weren't all copycats.
Was it Spider-Man again?
Sorry?
Or was it? I thought it was.
No,
some of them were Five Alive.
Yeah.
I don't even know that. Was it from a drink?
Aidan J. Harvey was in it.
Same.
And so was Doom McKeegan.
Yeah.
Or Doom Lucky-chan, as I'd rather pronounce her surname.
But it's basically all, they're basically the same thing.
Yeah.
I like to see, you know what, this guy's done good button acting, because he knows that every time he's given an order, he presses something.
Yeah.
Now, you know the wedding sequence here? Whose idea was it? No, was it Queen's idea? Or was it Mike Hodges' idea to get them to do the...
Or be Queen's idea. I bet it's Queen's idea.
Oh, it's fucking brilliant, isn't it? And the key change that they do as well.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Although, as we know, anybody who does a key change, somebody in the background has to shout, key change.
Key change! Yeah.
That's it.
Oh.
Got all that lovely smoke.
It's just lovely. Mm. It's a beautiful design, isn't it?
Yeah.
That looks like a shot straight from the serials, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. A lot of Hawkman there, isn't there? Or a lot of the same Hawkman.
It's mad as that.
Yeah.
There's only two of them.
Yeah. It's a beautiful ship.
And of course, the needle at the front pays off spectacularly at the end.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Well, that's a good shot. Look at that.
Now, Chris, do you know what the best-selling Queen single of all time is?
The best-selling Queen single of all time?
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's probably not Bohemian Rhapsody.
Well,
because that's probably the double bluff.
Don't Stop Me Now.
No, it's not Don't Stop Me Now.
Is it...
We Are the Champions.
It's not We Are the Champions.
Is it I Want to Break Free?
It's not I Want to Break Free.
Is it...
I'll give you a clue. It's written by John Deacon.
Is it Seven Seas of Rye?
No, it's not Seven Seas of Rye.
Is it Fat Bottom Girls?
No, it's not Fat Bottom Girls.
Is it...
It's written by John Deacon.
Is it Love and Pride?
No, that's a King.
That was King.
Is it, is it Purple Rain?
Was it From Eject to King?
What the hell's that?
Found on the next to Wailing Rain. You don't know that. Do you know why you don't know that? You big specky fuck. Because you're middle class.
Yeah, you're working class Scottish people.
You would know that song and you would know how to
I'm
sing it.
Class,
you have to close your eyes.
My heart.
Anyway, do you know the answer to my question?
But the best bit about singing Jack to a King is when people do the middle bit. Uh-huh. And it goes too high for them.
Oh, I.
Just a little while, you said today would play the game. Right,
this is good. I like it. This is great. Carry on.
But then you came along and have her
yes. That's enough, Harry.
All right, hen.
So the answer.
You hurt yourself.
Shall I give another clue to my answer?
Yeah, like the title.
Boom.
Another one by really?
Best song. Yeah.
That's a shit
song. I think
song.
That was a big song because it was a big hit in America.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
And another one.
Was it because of the Americas? Was it because of the tie in with Gladiators?
Oh.
No. With them big foam hands. Yeah, maybe you got a free foam hand with every single ball.
Listen, John Fashion, he didn't have particularly big hands. He's my lord.
Can I say, while we're talking about Gladiators and John
Fashion,
can I just go on record here that he did not invent Uruga?
No. Justin.
Wasn't that...
No, it was Craig Charles.
That was Craig Charles.
From Cyberzone.
Oh, Cyberzone, right, not Robert.
I've got absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
Awooga!
Remember he used to shout that in Gladiators.
He stole that. That man stole that from Craig Charles on
Cyberzone.
Did he not get done for fucking tax evasion or something?
Something like that, yeah. Wanker.
John Richards?
Something like that, aye. He looks a bit like your old man, actually, when you think about it, doesn't he?
No, he was bigger.
Is he?
You're right, it said Biro.
Yes, you're right.
Biro.
You're right, yeah. Biro. Destiny to mine. Yeah, here we go.
He's Biro. Got a right northern accent as
Biro,
well.
Biro, or as he's otherwise known, Mr. Vic.
Mr. Vic, yeah. Call back.
Blow it.
Fucking brilliant.
Not much.
So, another one bites the dust. I don't like another one bites the dust.
And Queen, I think, are the only band... all members of the band have written a substantial hit.
What's that sorry?
Queen are the only pop band to which every member of the band has written one of their major hits.
Really?
Yeah.
So what would be a Brian May song?
I think Gilbert O'Sullivan's
Brian May,
true of Gilbert
Radio
O'Sullivan
Gaga. Shut up.
So it's the true of Donovan.
Radio Gaga.
Huh?
Do you know what Radio Gaga was originally called?
Radio Gugu.
No, it's called Radio Poo Poo.
No, it wasn't.
It was, because it was his daughter.
Do you know what the original
used to call
lyrics?
It Radio Poo Poo.
Do you know what the original lyrics of Yesterday were?
The model?
Scrambled Eggs.
Correct. Oh, my darling, how I love
your
legs.
Yeah. Okay, that's not a Queen fact, though. That's not a Queen fact. That's not a Queen fact, though,
I know it's not a Queen fact.
It's not a Queen fact.
All channels are just...
But it is a fact.
If only we were... Our next
oh, here's there's a wee joke here.
Me
we actually shoehorn the joke in here.
Chuck, how?
Listen, don't miss the joke.
Okay, here we go. Shut up, Martin. Okay. Here we go. Is it
oh, this yet? Is a no, no.
Okay.
No, there's a joke. And there's a wee.
Look, she's quite vicious here, isn't she?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
That is a proper.
No, there's two things here. First of all,
long live Flash.
It says long live Flash, and suddenly, tell me more about Houdini.
Oh, yeah.
Scanner malfunction.
That's just a sort of 1980s. CCTV camera.
It is,
yeah, absolutely.
I love the way her look was this Area 77 Delta. And the British Geo was like, what the fuck is she talking about?
Not Area 77. Let's
just say dungeon under repair.
I like those rivety walls, they're good as well, aren't they?
Yeah, they're fascinating.
They've changed code. I like those rivety walls.
That was a joke.
Okay.
Yeah.
Riveting.
I like as well the wee thing where our it's still going.
The leader of Glasgow City Council, as was, he's no longer there. He used to do a wee thing in a speech where he would say, it is not about shipbuilding anymore, it's about the city. It is not about rivets, it's about riveting stories. And he said this over and over again, but you know the worst thing about it is, I think that was written by my ex.
The first Mrs. Williams.
The first Mrs. Williams, yeah.
Wow.
However did that go wrong?
I don't know. Divorced on grounds of
did
bad
she, did, chat, yeah, did she sorry. Did she write the vows as well? Oh, that's right, when they tune in, it's
who is playing the guitar though in the fiction of this? Who is that live or are they playing a recording?
I think it'd be like a sort of one of those electronic guitars.
No,
like lasers that you would
touch.
Jean-Michel Charles.
Yeah. I think it'd actually be a keyboard.
What do we think of Jean-Michel Charles?
I've got a soft spot for Jean-Michel.
This is when they're going to let's see. I love the way he tunes in to see what the radio is saying. Now,
see that future that we were all promised then has never turned up.
Is that the subtitles there called that the Bridal Chorus, which is correct?
Yeah, Mendelssohn, isn't it?
Yeah. And not what everybody else seems to want to call it nowadays, which is Here Come the Bride.
Yeah, absolutely.
You shouldn't play Here Comes the Bride when she's walking into the church.
She's not the bride.
Because she's not the bride until she leaves.
Correct.
I think on the album it's described as the wedding march.
And the pain of death. That's a good joke.
Yeah, it's great, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Now here's another guy that looks very familiar, this actor here.
Now he was in something not that long ago, what was that? It's one of these things I meant to write down. Because I was watching a film, they cropped up, and I thought, fuck, that's him for Flash Gordon. I take full responsibility in the Emperor's name.
Charge the lightning field, that sounds good,
doesn't it? Yeah, it's a great line, isn't
it? She's, look at the way she stands.
She's fucking immense.
She is. That I love.
Yeah.
Damn.
Look at that. Beautifully lit that shot, isn't it?
Attention all wedding guests. There is no cause for alarm.
Here comes
I like the fact that she's come up with a...
absolutely. Excuse, and the way that he's like, all right, oh, it's fair deuce.
That's pure Murray Hamilton.
Yeah,
that's Jaws, that is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the wedding vows are great as well, aren't they?
Until such time as you grow weary of them.
Of the hour.
Yeah. Well, who's doing the service again? Yeah.
Philip Stone.
Of course it is, yeah.
High Priest Zog.
I know. Yeah, I just thought it'd be funny to be hat on.
Why is he such a good pilot? Because that's kind of established right from the beginning, isn't it?
Yeah, because he's only had a few finalists. Yeah, it's he couldn't land.
It's 1980.
He's a good guy.
Nam.
Yeah, the Nam.
Yeah. That's true, yeah. Danang, Puntang, been all over that place.
He saw some bad bush. He saw some bad bush. I wouldn't wish that on a broke dick dog.
Craig,
come on, that's from a film.
What did you say?
I wouldn't wish that on a broke dick dog. From Predator.
I like Predator.
So this is the where the actual song.
I can do a good impression.
You do of the Predator. Come on.
Okay, you ready?
Oh yeah.
That's actually quite good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's actually a little bit disconcerting to watch.
It's
this is hard to look at the top of your head when you're doing
it. Here we are, look. Freeze, right, you bloody bastards!
Yeah, there you go.
Now, when I was a kid, this bit here, right, hang on. We'll find a way, right? Grab one of those images, right? First of all, this is what I love. First of all, this totally freaked me out.
Horrible.
So that freaked me out.
Yeah.
And then, immediately after...
Can I just say that's a design flaw in that, though?
Fucking flame throwing out a finger.
Yeah.
And then, this shit happens to her. What do you see? I remember when it must have been when it was on the telly. Not in the pictures, because it's too fucking loud to say anything in the pictures. No, that's the end of that.
That hasn't killed him, though. Baron needs to understand that. It's a TV screen shot.
No, sorry, it kills him in a minute.
Yeah.
Right, it's this bit. So I actually had to ask my dad, what's this? I don't understand this. That.
What do you not understand?
That.
No, I don't understand what's going on there either.
Well, that he's... That,
that she's just full of oil.
Melty thing.
And I said, but I don't...
It's because she's an alien.
I said, I don't understand that.
Do you know that about women?
And my dad just said, oh, it's because she's full of evil, son. And, but as you're like, oh, fair enough.
This is back in your Catholic upbringing.
Oh, you're like, I'm fucking seven or something. Evil, sorry, fair enough, right?
Ah, see, that was a bad weapon. See, that was a
here's a great Timothy Dalton improv, I think. Batter, lift the gun. No, better kick off the stand.
But I think he did that because what I was about to say was that was a pure choice of weapon for a small area. You needed small arms.
You get Donald Trump.
I've got these small arms. I'm a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Take
those guys have felt all over.
If it's a lucky night, yeah.
I got the felt up on the roof.
I do not.
Oh, here it comes back.
Dale, what a damn shame.
Now, that used to bother me when it says 1:46. Is that seconds?
Yeah,
I was never sure. 1:46.
They said that's the time of minutes and seconds.
The other thing is, I think I pointed out in another film before, which is that if the Earth is under attack because the moon is about to crash into it, see if you stop the moon crashing into it with just like 10 seconds to go. Yeah, it's pretty fucked already.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I was going to say
things aren't good.
It's not like nothing happens before it arrives.
It's like the end of I think we discussed this during the one of the fucking idiot crashing things into the Earth movies, and I got my astrophysicist friend to check it up.
What was that?
Something of that density, or something of that mass moving towards the Earth.
Was it deep impact?
It would. Yeah, I think it was. It would actually set fire to the atmosphere. Superheat the atmosphere ahead of it. Yeah.
Interesting. In a countdown film, what's the optimum?
Yeah, yeah, look, yeah,
what is the optimum time for the countdown?
There's
stop.
A countdown
it
film.
No,
it has to be about a second. To
it
go.
Does, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, but like then
what's hang on, hang on. We need to enjoy that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because it is magnificent.
Yeah. But then that's Galaxy Quest, isn't it?
Yeah.
What happens to Galaxy Quest?
Well, at the end of Galaxy Quest, where they stop the countdown and it just keeps on going, but it stops at one because it always stops at one.
Love it.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gordon,
look at this. Oh,
this is immense. Go Flash.
Go Flash, go.
Oh, the music soaring and it comes in the model.
It just fits through as well.
Oh, it's great, isn't it?
I remember being really quite taken aback by
that. But see this music here. Oh,
look at it, that's
fuck,
a great
man.
Performance as well, isn't it?
And actually, I'm not still not quite sure how they did the bit where he slides off the thing. Mm. Because it looks too articulated to be just a model.
Yeah, it does, you're quite right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's a classic.
However they did
it. No, really, I think it's just a classic. It is at the under side because it's
but, I mean,
under the clothes.
However they did it, it's fucking immense because you really feel like it's really sore. And then probably when it came out, it was just like, oh, that's not that bad.
Look, he's green blood.
He's kind of holding his cloak up against him to help it. Yeah. It's not a very heavy sword, that, is it?
Oh, that rings right.
No, it's purely ornamental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the swords.
He's fucked now and he knows it and he's not happy about it.
Or is he? Or is he? Or is he?
Is he?
I'm about to see it.
Do you think this is meant to be the start of a franchise then?
Yeah,
I think it was meant to be.
As I said,
actually, probably the other ones would have been shit.
Actually, I'm quite happy it wasn't because it's good enough.
It's a perfect film. They couldn't ever do two perfect
films. Watch.
And then the ring drops beautifully. Yeah, that pinging drops.
But watch this bit because this is the great payoff.
Oh, yeah, with the robot.
Yeah.
And the peak of the music.
Right, reactors are destroyed. Could you just have turned them off? You don't have to destroy the nuclear reactor.
Yeah,
just go up and go. Just go and turn them off.
Now. We better leave. Yeah.
Here we go. Yeah, here's the payoff. Yep.
Did we miss Dale's random cartwheel?
Oh. Yeah, that was the bit I was saying about the music. Yeah.
Watch.
You have saved your life.
Yeah!
Look and see that somebody's written on the head of the side.
Ming is dead.
No, and on the other one, somebody's... Did you not notice? So on the left-hand one, it says Ming is dead. On the right-hand one, somebody's painted tears under the eyes.
Lovely.
Love it.
No, the bit with the cartwheels is when I was saying about the music. changing when she was doing her fighting.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, Jonathan Wilkins likes that bit. In fact, Jonathan Wilkins likes all the good stuff in this film because he's good.
He's a good guy.
And he's called out the Flash's leaping cheer of, yeah.
Well, Jonathan, we have said how great you are.
Yeah.
So we'll look forward to tickets to the next Star Wars film when it comes.
That'll be great. Yeah. Because you are actually J.J. Abrams, aren't you? Yeah. You're J.J. Abrams.
J.J., good guy.
So the invite all to stay.
This is probably finished like 10 minutes too early because of my shit DVD player, but we've covered all the salient points. It's just a little too quiet around here for me.
Because I'm from New York. We all get raped 3 times a week.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
1980.
Yeah, 1980.
Fucking shithole.
Actually, that she was right then. Yeah. The worst anybody's...
Oh, this is great. Look, yeah. Thanks.
Love that.
The worst anybody's tried to do in this is rape her and kill her.
Yeah.
And actually, that's not a bad result in New York 1980.
Yeah, that's a date.
Look, they spell it out in perspective as well. It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
he looks a bit divvy.
He does look a bit stupid there. Look at the end. That's fucking great.
But then there's a little...
Who's that?
Yeah.
They ripped that off in Doctor Who, didn't
and
they?
And then it's...
Doing. The end question mark.
But the subtitle says, Ming Laughs.
And Roger Taylor's little drum roll.
Great
dum 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 dum
dum dum
remember I told you that Dino De Laurentiis, the thing about June and all that. She was the production assistant on June, and she is a very scary lady.
Yeah,
she's very posh and very upper class English. And when they film her a couple of years ago, she's very elderly and all that, pasty white makeup, and her hair's a bit like mental. But that's a funny thing. Yeah. You mentioned that, and Chris Kelly,
the staffer.
Yeah, and that must have been Chris Kelly before he got the gig on Food and Drink.
Harry Waxman.
This track's called The Hero.
Harry Waxman.
Count Ulderico. He sounds good.
Count Ulderico. The world. Yeah. Great song. This is, I like the lines here.
These must all be Chinachita and De Laurentiis.
Tell you, my friend, this might seem like the end, but the continuation is yours for the making. Come on.
Good. And Dino
that's
said,
what you want to be talking about.
No, it's okay. One's enough.
One is enough. Sure, I finished now. And I want to make this Dune book very good.
Make a Dune. He's a multi bene. Alan Douglas there recording the music before he started on Scotland Tonight.
Great guy. We need to get that. No, I was actually Twickenham Film Studios. Gosh,
man. Is he the one who's married to Viv Lumsden?
Yeah, he's a good guy, Alan. So I believe.
Yeah. Oh, enjoying
comes into the hospital quite a lot.
Yeah. Well, the car's during Fiat, so he's got money off of Fiat there.
Yeah, it's good to know. Oh, what a great film.
Right, let's see who else we might have missed.
Nilian.
I don't think we've really missed anybody.
No, I think we saw them all.
Yeah, I think we've commented.
Hedonia, Bobby Brown, is that?
Bob Goody's in it, isn't he?
Who?
Is he?
Bob Goody.
What, from Smith and Goody?
Yeah.
Is he?
Graham Crowther.
I didn't spot him.
Graham Crowther?
Who's Graham Crowther in it?
Where?
I didn't spot Graham
Deep Roy.
Deep Roy, yeah.
It's going to be Deep Roy, isn't it? Wow. From John Sullivan. Probably not the same.
Save the universe. Boom, boom, boom. Do you think the Cytherean girls are all like Magda Shaker, Linda Vivett? They're all from certain magazines.
Well, it's a woman called Beverly Andrews. There's both set of sisters right there.
She's the crossover sister.
Yeah.
Well, there's a Robert Goody.
Yeah, Kenny Baker.
Is that him?
Yeah.
I didn't spot him. Stephen Payne, I think, is he not in Blake 7?
Max Alford's a name.
Who's it?
Jim Carter.
Oh, here we go.
Really? Yeah. Who was he?
Shepson Studios, look.
Yeah, no, we just said
where
that.
Where was Jim Carter?
Wow. His name came up as one of the groups of people who fucking dressed up as something.
Well, of Hawkman or something. Fantastic. Yeah. Well, I think that's as close as you get to a perfect film in the 80s.
And probably the best film we've actually done a commentary on.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Well, I think I said earlier, I'm sort of... Easy Peatsy kind of was stepped on Sunride again. Mm. But I
I probably only because I've probably watched them as much as each other.
It is without question of in my lifetime of watching films, it'll be right in my top favourites.
Yeah,
you know, it's one of my absolute favourite films of my lifetime.
I don't think there is anything that's a downside to that film.
No, it's
and I would film. Also it's like. I would also say that like, and I'm sorry if this bothers anybody who's listening, but you know. I think if it's like Mary Poppins,
is it going to get racist?
It's like Mary Poppins and The Wizard of Oz. Uh-huh. If you don't like it, you're a cunt.
Fair enough.
I'd agree with that.
That's fair enough. Yeah.
I'd agree with that. Ross King.
Because I think you have to be a specific kind of twat not to like Mary Poppins or The Wizard of Oz or Flash Gordon.
I'm not breaking on Mary Poppins.
You cunt.
Anyway. Okay.
So
we'll be back next week with Queen Part 2.
Yeah,
looking forward to that.
And that's
with
just
a DVD player that works.
That's just for
another listener recommendation.
That's for George to look at what it is.
So yeah.
See you next week.
Bye.